Where's your road taking you? Those of you that have been with us and called the Bridge home know that this week we're finishing up our series going through the Old Testament book of Malachi. Series I've entitled, Ouch, When God Gets Mad. And you know, I just want to tell you, if you're here visiting this morning, statistics would say this is the absolute worst time you could possibly come to visit. And let me tell you why. Because this morning's message is going to deal very frankly and very straightforwardly regarding hell. Those of you that call the Bridge home and have been here know that it's been our message that the book of Malachi, which is often thought of in terms of the ins and outs and the do's and don'ts of the faith, where Malachi specifically calls out six major sins in his day, and then makes a promise, an awesome promise that says, if you're a child of God, these concerns don't affect you. However, if you're somebody who chooses to walk away from the loving grace of our Lord and Savior, this message applies. And I am so glad that Ray not only wrote that song, but sang it and shared with us this morning, the message of grace. Because hear this, as we finish Malachi, it's very, very important that you understand, while there's going to be some very straightforward language here in God's Word, and some of us may squirm a little bit, many of us may not like it, it's truth. But this is the part that most people won't tell you. It's truth wrapped in love. What you're going to hear this morning, the uncomfortable part of God's Word, it's love. It's frank. It's direct. It doesn't pull any punches. But it's love. It's from a God who loves you enough to tell you the truth. And as Ray sang, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A God who would leave heaven on purpose with the intention of dying on the cross, that we would have the eternal hope of heaven. That's the God that loves you enough to give you the truth of Malachi. That video said, what road are you on? I've entitled today's message, Heaven or Hell? And ultimately, that was the question of the video. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Have you embraced the message of that song, the truth that Jesus himself laid down his life so that you could extend your hand and say yes to his gift of grace? That's the question. That's the issue. That's what we're going to deal with this morning. The difference is normally we just bring the positive to people. Jesus loves you and so do we. I love that message. We share it as much as possible. Malachi, however, turns the coin over and makes sure that people understand from God's perspective what happens if you say no thanks. If you intentionally walk away. If you disrespect, disobey. If you become disillusioned into thinking that you write your own plan and that ultimately you're going to be the judge over your eternity. Malachi makes it clear that's not so. So, this morning I begin with a video that lays out the gift of God, who says, I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. With a loving song that shows that he put his money and his life where the promises are made. Hear and remember that song. That truth, as I walk you through Malachi chapter 4. Six verses make up the entire chapter, and it closed the book. Heaven or hell? That's the question. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. I want to walk you through this. We're going to stop a couple of times, and I'm going to highlight some things, but here it is. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Let's take a look here for a minute. I want to unpack that for you. Verse 1. This is where the ouch of our series comes in. Take a look at this. In that one verse, ouch, the day is coming. We have the assurance, the absolute guarantee that a decision point, a judgment day, is coming. Now, if you've given your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, that's good news. If you haven't, that's going to be a horrific time. He says the day is coming. He says it's going to be burning like a furnace. Okay, there is no status quo. There is no limbo. Our Catholic brothers and sisters would tell you that there's a purgatory where you'll go and just hang out till enough people pray for you down here to push you through. I'm here to tell you there is none of that in God's word. That is simply not so. You have a lifetime to make a decision to give your heart to Christ. When that lifetime is over, you're done. You are either on your way to heaven or you're about to have one horrible eternity. The day is coming and it will be burning like a furnace. Not my words. This isn't Baptist stuff. This is God's word. He says there'll be chaff. All those evildoers, all of the arrogant, all those who say, I don't need what you're selling there, Mr. Christian. Hey, Jesus, I've been doing just fine without you. I'm not sweating this stuff. I don't buy into this whole thing anyway. I think you just go into the ground and sleep. No big deal. The God that would leave heaven to take the scourge of the cross on our behalf says, if that's the road you choose, understand this. You'll be chaff. You'll be firewood. You will be set ablaze in the lake of fire. Ouch. This is real. This is why I said to you, if you're here visiting for the first time, this is a bad day statistically. I would have you know that there are no chance encounters in God's plan. If you're here, it's because God wanted you to hear his truth today. Maybe you've never been in a place where God's word was laid out candidly, but with the right balance of truth in love. Hear God's word. He finishes up verse 1, and this is the part that blows me away. Some of you that know me know that I won't hold anything back when it comes to using illustrations. I came very, very close to having a small plant up here. Because he says that furnace, that burning of the chaff, will be so harsh that neither branch nor root will be left. I almost had a plant up here, and I was going to get one of those butane torches, and I was going to fire that baby up. I figured it would have taken probably about 2 or 3 minutes. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to show you, no matter how badly I could burn it up here in a few minutes, I could never get down into the roots. I want you to understand the fire that we know, think of the worst of forest fires. You never see a forest fire that takes out the roots, that goes all the way down and eliminates the roots. God's word says on that day, it'll be a fire that not only takes away the branches in the trunk, but it will be so consuming that even the roots will be taken away. That's very, very hot. That is why I've entitled the message, the series, Ouch. Because you know what? There's no good person good enough to get away from that. There's no amount of religious duty. There's no amount of good deeds that could be stacked up enough to get away from that truth. Here's the thing. Somebody said, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm not an evil doer. I'm not arrogant. Fact is, I'm actually pretty humble. I'm one of the nicest people I know. Just ask me. God's equation is different. Here's how it works. Anybody plus God equals righteous. Anybody minus God equals wicked. Now that sounds a little harsh, but here's how it goes. Anybody plus a loving, personal, saving relationship with Jesus Christ righteous, on their way to eternity in heaven. You say, even that guy? Her? There was a day you would have pointed at me and said that. Even him? Anybody plus Jesus equals righteous eternity in heaven. Anybody, I don't care how good you think they are, I don't care how sweet they seem, I don't care if they've never been known to do a sinful, harmful thing. Anybody minus Jesus, wicked enough to where the blaze will burn up not only the branches, but the entire root system. That's the tough love message of Malachi. Let me show you verse 2, because there's a better day. And when I tell you it's truth and love, here's a perfect example of it. But for you, now I want you to hear it, but. Okay, here's the cold, hard truth. Here's the reality that you better get a hold of. Next verse, but. Amen for a but. But for you, who, me? For you, who? You who fear the name of the Lord. That's another way of saying those of you who have given your heart to me. Anybody who's given their heart to me. You who have a personal relationship with me. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth. Amen. And skip about like calves from the stall. Let's unpack this, because this is good news, friends. This is good news. This is the promise to whosoever says yes to Jesus. Amen. The first verse was an ouch. The second verse is an amen. Amen to this. Look, but for you, here's the promise. All that I just told you, that tough love, the part that you don't like, the part that nobody ever tells you about, the part that I frankly don't want to hear anymore. He says, but for you, that doesn't apply. Remember, we saw last week and the week earlier when we were in chapters 2 and 3. He says, I've got a book. And those of you that are mine, don't you worry. The day will come where I will separate out those that are with me and those that are not. And don't you worry about what you see out there in the surface. It looks like the bad guys are winning. It looks like you don't care. It looks like, he says, don't you worry. But for you, the Son of Righteousness will rise. The furnace that will burn up even the roots is earmarked for those that say no to me. But for those of you that say yes, praise God, the life-giving Son of Righteousness is coming. And it will bring healing on its wings. Healing. Not just physical healing. This is the spiritual healing. This is the forever healing that says, when you've given your heart and your life to Christ, don't you worry about forever. Eternal healing is on the way. I promise. Promises of God. The same God who says, if you say no and walk away, give me some of this. Throw your hands up in my face. Tell me that you don't believe. Tell me that you don't need. Tell me that you're going to let me run some of the show, but you're in charge. Tell me that I'm supposed to be as God, the co-pilot, and you're going to steer this thing. Anything less than yes, Lord, and you're in trouble. Anybody says yes, here comes healing. Spiritual, forever healing. A promise. Promises of God. He says, you will go forth. Now, I looked for some video images of this calf in the stall deal, but I couldn't get away from everything. It looked like a rodeo. I couldn't find this video in such a way that I thought it would actually get the point across. I thought everybody would be looking at it thinking, well, what rodeo show is that? And I'm not from the farm. You know me if you've been around. So I can't tell you the idiosyncrasies of a calf that's been released from a stall. But I can tell you this in everyday street language. Here's the point of that. You will go forth. You will rise up. You will be in the lead. And here's the very plain language, and you're going to party. You are going to throw a party like you wouldn't believe. You'll be so happy. The joy will be overwhelming. These calves, I'm told, they literally spring up like a gazelle. They just bounce. They're so excited, so filled with energy, they can't contain themselves. That's the promise. The same God that says, walk away. Throw up this gift of grace in my face. and you will burn till the roots are gone. But those of you that simply say yes, believe and receive my gift of grace. Give me your life and you will jump around. You will throw the party of all. You won't be able to contain yourself. And that will be coupled with eternal healing. Never to feel pain again. Never to know depression again. Never to sense a cloud in the sky again. Forever, eternal, absolute, on every level healing is coming to you. Those of you that will say yes to me. Amen? That's an amen clause. That's truth and love. Let me show you verse 3. I love this. Verse 3 now sets up a whole nother piece here. He says, you will tread down the wicked. Those of you that have been saying, it doesn't seem fair to me, Lord. I'm being humble. I'm doing the stuff. My heart's with you. But boy, it's a wicked landscape out there. I don't like what I see. I don't think it's fair. What are we going to do about it? He says, I promised. And I'll tell you what, you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. Think about that. That's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Now, I'm going to seemingly jump to a different topic here for a second. How many of you realize that today is Palm Sunday? Today's Palm Sunday. I tell you what, I was a long way in my Christian walk before I even understood what that meant. That was one of those things that to me, everybody said it and I just kind of nodded. Oh, yeah. I had no idea what it meant. No idea why is there a Palm Sunday? And then I eventually realized, okay, this is the week before Easter. Okay, so what's up with palms and Easter? Draw the connections for me. I want to show you where Malachi chapter 4 has a direct parallel to Palm Sunday. That we, as children of God, can relate to this. Palm Sunday is based on what is called the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The week before he's going to be crucified, he's coming into the city. And I'll tell you what happened. In their day and in their culture, palms represented victory. They were symbolic of victory. And the Bible tells us, and I want to take you there, in John chapter 12, verse 12. In fact, I want you to hear John 12, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. Jesus now coming in for the last time into the city. Everybody has been so in tune to what he has been doing, the promises that he's been making, and they're buying into the fact that here comes our Messiah. Here comes our champion. Finally, a king, a Messiah who's going to take charge, who's going to rule the world. He's going to show everybody our power and our might. Praise God. Finally, here comes the promise. Says this regarding Jesus coming into the city. The last day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna means save. In Hebrew, it's the old vernacular for save us, Savior. Hosanna, save us, King of Israel. As Jesus was coming, they lifted up these palms, these branches, as if to say, victory! Here comes our Savior, our victorious Messiah. The King of Israel will be victorious. That's where the palm of Palm Sunday comes. But now let me take you over to Mark's account. You see, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us this story with their own personal perspective. Mark tells it to us this way. In Mark chapter 11, verse 7 through 10, three verses, and I want you to hear. The palms representing victory, the people chanting along the side of the road, victorious is our Savior, our Messiah. Here comes the King of Israel. Mark tells us this way. They brought the colt to Jesus. He came riding in on a colt, on a mule that had never been ridden on to fulfill prophecy. He said they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, like their clothing or their jackets. He sat on it. Verse 8, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Not only were they lifting up these palms and saying, "Victory! Here comes our Savior." But Mark tells us that they laid these palms down. They laid these palms down and said, "Here comes our King." And our King walked on the palms. Malachi tells us that if you're a child of God, you will tread on the wicked. You will walk on them as ashes under your feet. They will give traction to your journey into eternity with the Lord. Our King walked on palms in signs of victory. Malachi tells us if you're a child of God, if you've given your heart to the one true living God, those that frustrate you today, that landscape that you can't seem to make sense of, you will walk across them. You will tread upon them like ashes under your feet. I want to show you a video because here's the thing. Today we talk about Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of our King Jesus Christ who walked in, and everybody there, the crowd said, "Yay, Hosanna, save us, victorious King." I want you to know that next week we're going to celebrate the resurrection of that King. And here's the thing. Between Sunday and Friday, those people flip-flopped like you wouldn't believe. The crowd that lifted him up and chanted Hosanna to the King in turn yelled and screamed, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We live in a culture that often loses sight of the black and the white, of the Hosanna and the crucify him. I want you to hear the message of the cross through another type of illustration. And I want you to remember, it sounded like victory and promise on Sunday. It became scourge and evil before the end of the week. Because this truth that we share, this either or, this black and white of Malachi that says you're either with me or you're against me. Your road either leads to heaven or to hell. The message of the cross often gets lost in the gray of every day. Let me show you a passage from 1 Corinthians that's depicted in a video. And I ask you to let this seep into your heart.
For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will thwart the cleverness of the intelligent." Where is the wise man? Where is the expert in the Mosaic law? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased to save those who believe by the foolishness of preaching. For Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks ask for wisdom, but we preach about a crucified Christ, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
Question is, do we have a Sunday perspective, or are we in the Thursday, Friday crowd? They were chanting Hosanna, and just days later, they sent him to the cross. Because this truth of God's word, maybe you've heard it, maybe you've said it. Yeah. Give me a break. You don't buy into all that mess, do you? Listen, it was written thousands of years ago. How can you possibly trust him? Come on. You're not serious, are you? Don't take it so literally. We have mainline churches, mainline denominations that are now telling people, look, take it with a grain of salt. It's good for bedtime stories. Don't sweat it. The furnace will burn till the roots are gone. Black or white. Verse 4 tells us this. And again, there's only 6 verses, so I'm coming to a close already. Verse 4 tells us this. Remember the law of Moses. Don't drop the standards. I told you how it ought to be. I've delivered it in a loving way. I've even come back and promised every time you say, please forgive me, and you mean it, I will. I even sent my son, and he made sure that you all have prepaid tickets into eternity with me in heaven. But here's the thing. You've got to believe, and you've got to receive this gift. Not on the surface, but in your heart. Not 90%, not 95%, not 99.9%. At our house, we tell our children that 99.9% obedience is 100% disobedience. That's why I told you, if you're visiting, tough message. God's truth and love, because here's the thing. Give him that last 2 or 3% and he will give you eternity. Here's the other thing. Give him the last 10%, 5%, 3%, 1%. He will give you entry into heaven here on earth. Promises begin now. That's the message of our Lord. Verse 5, he goes on, and check this out. He says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. This gets a little tricky, and I won't go too deep. Malachi, earlier in the book, tells us about the coming Messiah, when Jesus himself would be born. He's now speaking about the second coming of the Messiah. And he says, just as John the Baptist came like an Elijah and told the world, here comes the one true living king, prepare. God's word tells us that before Jesus comes back again, there will be another prophet, somebody who will come and who will do the work of the Lord in such a way that many, many, many people will come back and give their heart to Christ. That's the message of verse 6. But I want you to see this in verse 5. This is an awesome thing that's often overlooked because the words roll off our tongues. The words just roll off and they just kind of flow. And we seldom actually take a look at it. I want you to see this. At that time, the great and terrible day. Great and terrible. Heaven or hell. If you're a child of God, if you're in the but crowd, but those of you who fear my name, but those of you whose names are written in the book of life, those of you who are the real deal and have given me your heart, this is going to be a great day. When I come back, when the Lord comes, it will be a great day. You'll be like the calf who can't contain itself, jumping with energy and joy. It will be a great day. But if you've walked by the ticket counter and said, no thanks, not interested in that prepaid ticket to eternity that Christ bought for me on the cross, that he's extended to me with days like today, you know what? You hear my voice. You're here on purpose. God had a plan. In my voice and in this message is God's hand reaching out to you saying, please, please take this gift of grace. Please. That's the truth of the message. It will be a great and terrible, terrible day, depending on where you stand on this issue of God's grace, on this issue of God's truth. Whether you say, you know what, I don't like it, but I'm sure glad God loved me enough to tell me. Or if you say, yeah, come on. We're burning daylight here, preacher. Get done. I want to beat the Presbyterians to the Ponderosa. Let's go. God's talking to all of us. One truth. One message. All of us have to decide, what are we going to do with it? We have to decide where we're going to stand. Verse 6 finishes up and he says this, "He will restore the hearts so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." Talking about that prophet that will come. I told you earlier in the series, this is the only Old Testament prophet that closes with a curse. Malachi, speaking for God, says, somebody's going to come and praise the Lord. There will be hearts that will turn back to me. Because if they didn't, I'd have to come and I would have to curse the earth. So the question goes back to verse 5, great and terrible day. Goes back to the first video I started with. Where's your road leading you? Ask the question, what does the cross mean to you? I ask you this, where do you stand? I've got a friend from overseas. You'll love his accent. He's going to ask you the same question rhetorically, and he's going to lay it out for you. Black and white. Here's the real deal. This is the story. Check your heart. Dig deep. Dig deep. Answer the question in your own heart. Where do I stand? Watch this.
We're living in the days of the human superstar. Let me explain. Every day, from the moment I wake up till the minute my head hits the pillow, I'm bombarded with ideas and images of those who've supposed to have made it. Successful ones who've got it all, the ones we want to be like. You might say I'm being tight, but if you dig deeper, it's obvious things aren't always what they seem. You see, there's only one true superstar worth trying to be like. No glitz and glamour though, just one God who left heaven to walk this real life. He got his hands dirty, struggled with the same stuff you and I do. Difference is, he didn't cave in, he was perfect, lived his life full. No prizes for guessing who I'm talking about though. Most of the time, you probably see him wearing a white nightie hanging in some stained glass window. Jesus Christ. You might just know it as a swear word, but I promise you there's more to it than that. Just check the next verse. The good book says he was both God and man rolled into one. He was the man's man, hard as nails, yet the most sensitive and loving person ever to walk these trails. He spoke up for those who didn't have a voice, but more than that, he always had time for people. Didn't turn anyone away, seeing all as equal. He cried. He even washed his mate's feet. Don't know if I could do that. Age 33, his time came to an end as they nailed him to that tree. But what's the point of that, you're thinking? To be continued, verse 3. Truth is, we've all messed up and done stuff wrong, which means we can't go looking the creator of the universe in the face for very long. So there's us mankind standing before God, things not looking great. He looks at us, his heart melts. I love them, he says, more than life itself. I don't want to punish them because they fall. So in steps Jesus as yours and my substitute. Take the rap once and for all. How did it go down that night? They nailed his hands and feet and stuck a spear in his side. They put a crown made of thorns on his head. Then he died slowly on that cross and bled. He thought you were worth dying for. But that's not the end. 3 days later he made a spectacle of death. He got up, folded his grave clothes and left them in a pile on that empty bed. New life, fresh breath. All that for me and you. God's done his part, now it's your response. What do you do? Where do you stand? There is a God who loves you the way you are and desperately wants you to take his hand. But it's your choice. Where do you stand?
It's your choice. Where do you stand? Where's your road leading you? Are you heading for a great or a terrible eternity? Ray sang it. The good book tells us all about it. God's word is clear. Jesus loves you. and He wants you to spend eternity with Him. But you've got to decide, where do you stand? Are you heading for the great day of eternal peace and life? Are you heading for the terrible day of hell? Malachi says you have to hear that. I want to close my part of our service this morning by sharing with you the other part of the message. Truth. Truth. Uncompromised. Unedited truth. But truth in love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, all of us, every nook and cranny, every people group, big ones, little ones, black ones, white ones, fat ones, skinny ones, smart ones, dumb ones, the world. You can't find a part or a people or a place that is not inclusive in 'For God so loved the world, that whosoever,'" you can't run away from the offer of God's grace. You can't hide from it. You can't say it's not for me. You can't say you don't understand where I've been. You can't say, "No, not me, not me. I don't think it really is for me." For whosoever, God's truth in love. "For whosoever believes in me shall not perish. Your roots will not burn. Your limbs will not burn. But rather the Son of Righteousness will come to you and bring healing. Eternal, complete, perfect healing. For God so loved the world. Whosoever shall not perish." Hear that message. Malachi is tough love, but it's love. His message comes from the one true living God, who loves you enough to tell you the truth, who loved you enough to die on the cross, and as we will celebrate next week, who rose again to prove this is a guarantee. Say yes, believe and receive, and come spend eternity with me. Pastor Jim and our worship band are going to leave you with a song that I pray will be your heart song. As you say goodbye to Malachi, this song applies. And as you prepare yourself for Easter Sunday and the promise of a risen Lord, let this song be your anthem, I pray.